Peter chapter 7. In the first 13 verses, we learn that after a couple of generations, the son of one of the kings rebels, and he draws many of the people away. And the reason he's able to do this is because of the beauty of his children, and his name is Korihor. And by doing this, he raises an army, and he's able to then take over the kingdom. And many years pass, and then his brother takes the kingdom back from him. Well, at that time, then this man named Korihor, he repents, and then he's given power in the kingdom. Well, what do we learn from this? Well, the two things that we're to get out of it is, first, that the people cared more for beauty. Notice that their sights are on beauty. In fact, they as today, they kind of want to associate good with beauty, and so instead of good being associated with the Spirit and with Jesus Christ, they begin to replace who the real author of good is with beauty. See, again, these are the seeds, the things where we see of idolatry, meaning we're replacing the attributes and things of Jesus Christ with things of the world. We also learn that Korihor was not really evil. When I say not really evil, he was not in the sense that we think of being an evil dictator today. But the devil can always sway men to think that they have a just cause. And that's what was going on with him. And the point is that you know, when he went away and swayed the people away, he was not a man in total wickedness as we've seen other men have been. But he claimed to have a reason and a cause as to why he should have have the kingdom. And the point is, though, no matter how a man appears, no matter how good-looking Korihor is, no matter what his cause seems to be, we must follow Christ. And otherwise, men can be swayed by the devil. Well, then it goes on in the story to say that that Korihor's son Noah, who wants to be king, is then able to get some people to follow him, and the result is that they established two kingdoms. Again, we have to note that this is the son of Korihor, and what was the mark of his family? They were all very good looking. See, and we like to be swayed by this idea of being good looking rather than because it's a superficial thing that we go to with our mind that then cuts off the spirit, because to fill the spirit, it takes a little more work. And we have to look into ourselves as well as look into others. Well, notice that at this time, what are we beginning to feel? We're beginning to feel that both kingdoms are having problems because they do not believe in an equal people any longer. But they have begin to believe in a degree of nobility. See, again, we're seeing idolatry. They're beginning to lift men up. When we lift men up, see, the very idea of lifting them up is replacing God. When we walk humbly before God, we're all humble before God. But when we lift man up, we begin to look up to a man. See, he begins to block our view of the Lord. And again, we see this is another form of idolatry. And the biggest point that's trying to be made in this chapter is to continue to teach us of this idolatry. Well, due to then some what goes on then, for some reason, the one king joins with the other one, and the kingdoms are united. But it says that the people are growing in wickedness, in idolatry. Again, we're explaining this idolatry. To think that all of a sudden people start go out engraving, making little images and worshiping them, that is not what's going on. What's going on, though, is we could even say they have their lucky charms. Meaning that, again, everybody says, well, we don't believe in lucky charms, don't you? If I gave you, a nice shaped piece of solid gold that was worth $10,000 that you could carry around in your pocket, boy, you'd think that was really a prize, and you'd really think there was something special about that. You see how that could become a lucky charm, and that's what these people are doing. These kind of things become important to them, and not only that, they're their king, and they're and even we could say they're just as today they look to their churches. They want all these physical things. to rule over them and to be their God, instead of having a direct relationship with the Lord. And we're just repeating, why are we having this? It's the same old story. If you say, oh, it's the same old story we heard in the Book of Mormon, it is the same old story because we haven't listened. So in a quick record here, he's going to run right through, which this was this record is actually as long as the entire other record. So it's going to take them I think it's 2,000-year record. So it's twice as long as the Book of Mormon. So what he's running through now, 2,000 years, it's just always the same old story with man. What does that mean to you? That means that in our day it's going to be the same old story. And what is it? People replace their relationship or their with Christ, or they replace Christ with other things. They begin to look to other things and go unto other things, whether it's their property, their church, leaders, anything. They replace their relationship with the Lord with a relationship with men and property. Well, then it says in verse 23 that the prophets come into the land, and that the king supports these prophets, and therefore by doing that, by giving them, making it so that the people cannot cast them out or stone or kill them, then the prophets are able to get everyone to repent. Now notice we've got a relationship here. What should government leaders do? They should support God and God's beliefs and the men of God. What they do not do is they do not have a church state, meaning that they do not create the government and the religion and the church to be the same thing. But if you, on the same token, let us understand clearly what the error of the modern day is. Neither do we make our church our government. Understand that. Meaning that we don't have a big hierarchy like the Mormon Church does today. We establish congregations that work together to get themselves to Christ, and that's all. And then any aid that the prophets or disciples can have in going around and aiding these churches, that's fine. But we don't make church a government, and our government is not turned into a church which then dominates and tells people what they have to do in their religious life. But the government does support religion and the flourishing and the teaching of religion in their society, because they know that that's what makes the people strong.